Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Thursday morning, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I want to say hello and good morning to Predators head coach John Hines. He's on the line with us. Good morning, Coach. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. How are you? I'm excellent.
You've been safe, and how's life in quarantine times been the last couple of months?
Yeah, it's been it's been good. My family moved down to Nashville, so we've been safe. We've been quarantined. Everyone's healthy. It's been good to really be able to explore the Nashville area. You know, we haven't been able to meet a lot of people, but just be able to drive around and see all the downtown and all the different things around Nashville. So the kids should be acclimated and had a chance to get some work done, and it's been good. You know, I can't complain. We're all healthy. We've had some time to recharge a little bit and plan out. So feeling good, ready to go. Hopefully we can get back at some point soon here.
Good to hear, and we certainly agree with that sentiment for sure. We've talked to a number of people around your team that have kind of relayed the same message, that everybody felt really good. Unfortunately, with the direction of where this was going, it felt like it was coming together as play halted before you guys were getting ready to play the Maple Leafs. Do you feel the same way? Did you feel like maybe everybody was comfortable with the system, the team was coming together, things were going in the right direction when everything halted?
Yeah, it certainly was. I think that some of the system things and some of the tactical things that we made adjustments to, we're becoming much more natural to the players, which is something that's always going to be a work in progress, particularly when you come in mid-season. I think the biggest thing really came in just the team dynamic started to come together, the mental toughness, the belief, the resiliency that you need to be able to play night in and night out, the belief in each other and some of the accountability things really started to click, and I think guys really started to play more for each other and with each other than before. And I think that's really where that feeling comes in. And once you can get that the culture, the chemistry, the belief, the resiliency, that mental toughness and belief that you need to win, then the tactics usually take care of themselves.
That message was pretty consistent with you from day one, and you said it. If you didn't say it, every day, you were pretty darn close to exactly what you just said to us. Were you surprised at all that mentality was there, that you had to say that message over and over again to a room that had been through all the wars that they'd been through over the last couple of years in the playoffs and long regular seasons and have had a lot of success?
No, not necessarily. I think that every year is different. And every year your team changes, guys get older, you add people to your team. You can never really rely on what's going on in the past. I think you can draw some lessons from the past, but every year presents different challenges. Every year you have to, you have to be ready to mentally fight and compete and physically be able to bring that night in and night out. And I just think that, it happens to teams at certain times, and when you go through some struggles or you go through some of the changes that happened to the team earlier in the year, sometimes that belief and the identity and the mental strength that you need, it goes away, and you got to find a way to get it back. And that was one of the things. I think a lot of teams go through it, but it was what the challenge was presented with this group this year.
John, when you came in here, when you had a little bit of a gap in between when it ended in New Jersey and before you started here, you had a little time to reflect. Your experience as a head coach on the bench for those years in Newark with the Devils and then starting up a fresh start in Nashville with the Predators team, did you take the same approach or did you sit back? Because I think we all feel like you have to change and evolve constantly. In whatever you do and get, times change and you have to change. Did you take that approach or did you just feel like what you have in place works, it fits you, and for whatever reason it didn't play out the way you thought, at the end or in New Jersey, and that it could play out here? What was your approach when you came in here?
Yeah, no, it's a good point. I think every experience you get, if you can take the lessons out of it and find ways to improve. And I think there's some things that myself and our staff and everyone, we did well in New Jersey, and there's some things that that needed to be changed or adapted, or certain things. I think you look back on certain decisions or certain ways that you handled certain situations. So those are the things you reflect back on in between the time between jobs. And then when you came, you know, when you come here, you also, I think, understand you have to coach the team that you have too. You have to coach the players. What's the group that's in front of you that you know, what are their challenges and what are their strengths? And I think one of the big things for me was really trying to understand where this group was at, what did they need mentally, physically, tactically, emotionally. And I think you have your job as a coach, in my experience, is you have to try to give that group what it needs. And sometimes it's not always maybe what you particularly want, or sometimes exactly how you want to play every situation, but you have to play to you have to coach to the player's strengths. And that was, you know, something I look back on and I tried to do when coming into this book.
I know you've said, you know, when referencing, you know, about players maybe in the old system and under Peter Laviolette, well, you weren't here, and that's more than fair. So this question is not about what was going on when Peter Laviolette was head coach. It's about just trying to see through your eyes, what do you think was happening and why it was working in your system? But two guys obviously come to mind where things got a whole lot better with Kyle Turris on your watch, and Mikael Granlund, really, I mean, it was the best stretch we had seen since he was traded here from Minnesota. So I guess the question is, what do you think through your eyes was working for them under your system?
Well, I think sometimes that when a coach has been in a place for a bit, or players have been there, and some guys play well, some guys thrive, some guys go up and down. So I think with Kyle, for instance, he came in and it was basically, look, it's a fresh start. You know, I'm a new coach coming in, and that was the message to the team that, you know, Lavi had gone through what he had gone through, and I'm a different person, different coach. I don't have the same experience with the team that he had. So it was an opportunity for guys to come in and play, and the best players were going to play. The guys that played the best were going to play. And Kyle himself took advantage of that opportunity. I think, you know, to be honest, it was just a fresh start, and to his credit, he took the opportunity and ran with it. And I think when you look at Granlund, you know, he was fairly similar. I think one of the things that happened with both of them that did help, I think, was they both found their way onto a little bit more special teams, whether it's power play or penalty kill. And I think sometimes just a player gets that type of confidence, or they earn that type of role. Sometimes it just helps them get a couple extra minutes. They feel better about themselves, better about the game, and then they just continue to go and play.
We're talking to John Hines, head coach of the Nashville Predators. And, Coach, there's a lot of – we've been picking the brains of a lot of coaches because they lead groups, and we're all, as a community, as a society right now, starting to work our way out into the fog a little bit here as we try to get moving and stuff. So what do you think about in terms of just trying to attack this whole thing with everything going around us? There's so much uncertainty in things. I mean, for example, you were just talking about just trying to stay in communication with the guys right now, and you don't know exactly which path to take, but you know there's going to be a time where it's time to take the next step forward.
Yeah, correct. I mean, we've done, myself and the rest of the coaching staff have really tried to stay in touch with the players. We've done some Zoom calls. We've had some, you know, individual Zoom call meetings. We've had rotated the coaches around with different players, so everyone's had an opportunity to talk with everybody and, you know, try to stay connected and keep connected together. And then, you know, we do have several plans in place for whatever's going to come our way. And I think, you know, the most important thing is, so you have to be, I think, in today's day and age, you have to be okay with uncertainty. That's the times we're in. And I think it's the teams and the people that they're okay with that challenge. And that's one of the things that we're going to talk with our players about is we don't know what it's going to be, but we have to be ready. There's going to be no excuses. We've got to have a plan in place. We have to have that type of mentality. And I think if we do that, we'll give ourselves the best chance to be successful.
It's such a unique challenge. And you used the term high stakes hockey when you were on the first Zoom call I think you did with the media after the pause happened, and we're all looking ahead, and there's a lot of speculation, but certainly there's not going to be a whole lot of games before you really have to have success, or this is going to be a pretty short run here. So That's a very unique challenge to just mentally start preparing for right now.
Yeah, it is. It's really mentally and physically. I think it's two parts of it. You know, once we get the green light of knowing, you know, a date when we're going to be back, I think it's really important that, you know, the players get back in. We send them the video. We want to be really detailed in our teaching and our pointers to get them back mentally engaged of how we want to play, what our identity is. That's the first step in really getting them back engaged of the concepts that we want to be able to play with. And then when they come back in, we've got to do a good job with our strength and conditioning and athletic trainers as far as, you know, the progression of coming back and getting them back into skating, feeling the puck, doing things with tempo, being able to do those things day after day, but then also ramping it up to a level where when you do get into these games that we're going to play, we don't have a long time to get ready. So I think the mental and the physical part of it have to be combined. And it's an exciting challenge. We've certainly spent some time on it. But I think it'll really get ramped up for us, too, once we get maybe a little bit more clarity on dates and timing.
John, you played in the Boston University hockey program. We were just talking to Tim Corbin, the head baseball coach at Vanderbilt, and they've become one of those programs over the years now that is getting known for producing a lot of major league talent, and a lot of people want to study how they have done it, why is it happening there. Boston University, it dawns on me, there's a lot of that same thing. It goes back for a long way now. There's a long line of players that have gone on to a lot of success. What is it about the culture at Boston University's program that has led to so many success?
Well, I think the first thing it started with Jack Parker. You know, Coach Parker had been there for a long time. It was a culture that was established by him and maintained by him for a long period of time. And you know, I think the ability to bring in, you know, high quality players, but guys that they had the right work ethic, they had a blue collar mentality to go along with their talent. And you know, I think when you have that type of a culture where, you know, your off-ice training is going to be intense and hard and everybody buys into it, the way that you're going to practice, the competitiveness that you want to play with. I think when the players that come through the program, you know, there's some pride and responsibility. And what does it mean to be a carrier? And I think it's that type of identity and culture that when you can get in and then you bring in highly talented or talented people into that culture and they believe in it, it allows guys to get better, improve, push each other. And you know, that's what had gone on at Boston University. And it comes to a strong culture, but also I think you have to have good, high-quality people to continually bring in the culture to maintain it.
We're talking to John Hines, the head coach of the Nashville Predators, and you spoke earlier about Mikhail Granlund and how that's worked under your system. But another player that I want to talk about specifically is Ryan Johansson, and he'll be the first. He did an interview with Joe Rexroder of The Athletic, saying that, you know, this hasn't been his best year, that he feels like he's let some of his teammates down with his play, and that he wants to play better and hold himself to a higher standard being a number one center. When you, even though you've only known him for half this season and coached him for half the season, when you hear one of your top players take that kind of responsibility, what goes through your mind as the head coach?
Well, it's a good thing. I mean, it's very consistent. I read the article and talked to Ryan afterwards about it. And the thing I liked was, you know, it was the same conversation he and I had at the end of the year. And so he's, you know, I think he's self-admittedly, there needs to be more from him. He recognizes that fact. He's not hiding from it. He's put some processes in place during this break to move forward as far as his training and getting himself ready to be able to come back and play at a level that we need him to play at. So I think it's a good thing. Guys are going to go through some ups and downs in their career. And I think the first step in it is just, you know, he owned it. And I think that's it's good on him and the fact that he owned it. And now the next step is really let's put the work in and put the plan in place to help him get to the level that he and we need him to be.
So with that said, does that, you know, give you some more excitement of if and when the season comes back, or even if this is planning for next season, knowing that a player like that with the type of talent that Johansson has, that he's motivated, that's going to come in and not only affect his game but those around him?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really exciting. You know, I've had a lot of very good discussions I've gotten to know a lot of the players a lot better over this break and feel like I know the team better. I know them better. They know me better. I think that there's, I'm really excited to be able to come back and work with the guys. And I think the motivation level is high for Ryan and from some other guys. I think our team in general, there was a lot of struggles this year. And I think the fact that we were coming together and there was a good belief system and a good feeling around what we were doing. So those are all motivational factors, and those are things that I think are exciting for the coaching staff and for the players. So when we do get back, that we're ready to push each other and make sure we're at the highest level we can be at to compete.
You obviously knew what you were getting in Pecorine because you've seen him, from afar and know the type of reputation that he has. But when you got here, I mean, it was a year that was up and down, not only for the whole team, but for him. UC Saros has taken the reins and essentially been your number one goaltender. But what are some things that you've been able to learn from Pekka in this role that he's currently in that maybe you didn't know?
Well, one is I've heard, but the type of character that Pekka Rinne has, the type of competitiveness and professionalism he has, makes him who he is. It was really impressive to see that. I think, I thought he had some really good stretches of hockey since I've been in here. And then, at the end, when Juice kind of took the reins, it wasn't so much necessarily that Peck didn't play well enough to play. It was just that Juice was playing so well and was so hot that, we had no time to waste. So, he was hot. We had a lot of games in a short amount of time. And Pex was all on board with that. He was about the team. He was about getting in the playoffs. He wanted success. He certainly wanted to play, but I think he understood the situation, supported you, supported the team, and supported me and our coaching staff. And it was different for him. It was the first time where he had been in a situation where he wasn't going to be in every other night or every night. And, understanding what he needs to do as a pro to be ready in those things was a new experience for him. And he embraced it. I think he learned a lot from him. I had a very good discussion with him since the break about the things he's learned. But I can tell you right now that he's not ready to give the reins away. I mean, what he's doing here. He's in fantastic shape. He's, I think, rejuvenated. He's ready to compete. And I think that's great. I think it's great for Peck. It's great for our team. It's going to be great for Juice. And I think Peck is going to come back. And he's got the fire. So that's another guy, that I think coming back as a coach you're excited about because of what he's doing and how he feels about where his game was and where his game can be. And that's exciting because he's a heck of a player.
No doubt about it. I don't think anybody's surprised to hear that. If there's anything we've learned about Peck over the years, he is certainly competitive for sure. Enjoy the weather today, Coach. It's beautiful outside. I think the Blue Angels are going to fly over in about 35 minutes, so maybe you can catch that. And thanks for the visit. You and the family continue to be safe.
I will. Thanks for the time, guys. I appreciate it. I'm definitely going to look at those Blue Angels here soon. It's going to be
right.
Awesome.
Yeah, it is going to be really right. Cool. Predators head coach John Hines, and we do appreciate him joining us here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. We'll be back with more here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.